Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Terje. I'm from Norway. And I'm speaking the most common language in the world, bad English. So I hope you can be patient. my task is to preach about teamwork. And teamwork can be the most fantastic thing in the world. With joy, with blessing, with a lot of good stuff. And it could be the most dreadful, the most painful, the worst thing ever. So it's a lot of different experience. But the question is why work in team? And the big thing is to understand that God himself is a we. Let us create. So for us to display the kingdom of God, we need to understand that we have no option. Because it's a triunion God, God the Father, Jesus the Savior, and the Holy Spirit the power. Work together in the world through mankind. And therefore, we need to grasp this issue and say, if we shall display the kingdom of God, we need to work together. Because he is a fellowship, he is unity, and we need to work in that way. So, and you see that Jesus himself worked in that way. He had this his 12 disciples, and he sent them out always two and two. And when Peter stood forth in the Pentecost and preached the gospel, Acts 2, verse 14, he says that Peter stood forth among the 11. And that's a very good phrase. It was not Peter alone, but he stood forth, grasped the opportunity and preached the gospel, but he was among the 11. It was a team together who worked. And you see it in Paul's work, letters. If you count all the people he worked with, Luke, Timothy, and all the other stuff, you come to about 36 to 42 different people. We traveled with him all the time. And the funny thing is that in Acts 17, when he came to Athens, he was going there and waiting for the others. He was drifting. It was like he couldn't do his task because he missed Silas and Apollos. So he said, I'm waiting for them. So he didn't do the task. He preached in Athens, and you didn't see a church there because at least he was alone. So that's the main thing in our individualistic world. We need, as people of the kingdom, grasp the importance of teamwork and say, we have no choice, we have no options. Shall we do a task? We need to work together and be people who can cope with each other and work together. So that's the first point. And the second point is then how to be a fruitful team member. And the big thing here is to understand the grace of God. like Terry preached to us earlier this week. Because when you really have an encounter with God and receive the grace of God and understand your own position in Christ, you can lay off competitiveness, comparison, all that stuff that create tension in a team. If we shall have a real team to work together in the kingdom, we need to have a security in Christ that I'm not threatened by you, I don't compare myself with you, I'm not here to have a position. We need to come to a place where my rooting, where my identity is in Christ. And it's not about me, it's about Him. It's not the I factor. I want this, I need this, this is my task, this is what I need. We must be in a part where it's about Him, His kingdom, His church, and what is my part in that whole picture. I can have just one part. The rest of the team has the other parts. Together we can display Christ in this community. And this is a big thing, because I have led team in Norwegian Telecom Company with 800 people in that department I run. And it was a lot of ambitions, a lot of competition, a lot of difficulties, because they didn't have anything to do about Christ. So much of my role was to run teams that was infused by all these ambitions. And that was difficult, of course. But it's more easy because the task is very narrow. So to lead a company is very easy. Just give them the task, just give them the money, and just give them all the benefits, and I do the work. But to lead a church and a team and plant a church, you have to embrace the whole life. And you have to, it's a lot of aspects in that, much more complicated than just a company. And the ambition in the Christian team destroys the team. Because you stop the grace of God, you hinder the spirits to flow, and you start to compete. And you see, we have no time for that, but you can look at how Jesus worked with his disciples all the time from his calling in the beginning of the gospel until he washed their feet in John 13. It's all about get rid of these ambitions. Get rid of this I factor. You must serve me. I am not a servant for you. You shall serve me. And this thing is important. So when you have a team who work with church planting and you have a lot of new people, just pray to God with them, for them. When you see these ambitions, this competition, this comparison, where people try to see how I'm doing according to you and all that stuff, just pray and grasp the opportunity when thing occurs. And don't treat the symptoms. Go to the root and say, why can't you cope together? Why can't you work together? Because you have so diverse gifting, so you are a dream team. But actually, you know, strive, you compete, and you don't act according to our purpose and plan. And you have to deal with this stuff to have a good team. If not, you will destroy, and people have excuses to remove themselves. And it will disappear. So it's so important to to have the focus on God's grace. For in the long run then, what you create in a team will be a place with mercy, with grace, with God's blessing, where people who are gifted, people who are really have skills, can work together, and that will display something that people will grasp and say, let me get that. But they don't know the price. But if you as a team has paid that price together, you will experience and display a life of Christ that everybody will sense. Here is a good environment. People who talk good about each other, who honor each other, and the fruit of this important work will be so visible that everybody will smell it, will touch it, will feel it when they meet the team. And that is the end what Jesus speaks of in Matthew 16, when he talks to Peter and says, Peter, you have no sense of the kingdom of God. Even though he just the same conversation has confessed the great confession that you are the Messiah, the Christ. You and Jesus says, this is a revelation for me, Peter. This is not something from you. That is God himself revealed to you. And Peter says, oh, I have a revelation from God. Hallelujah. And it go on and in the conversation and Jesus says, I will go to the cross. I will be crucified. And in the third day, I will rise. And Peter, as the man of God, raised and said, that must not happen, Jesus. I forbid you. And Jesus says, go away, Satan. You have no mind of what's my purpose. That is a fantastic story. But the whole thing is about the cross. It says, if you shall follow me, you must pick up the cross. Deny yourself and follow me. And a team of disciples that has met Christ, the resurrected Christ, received his grace, and died from themselves, will have a fantastic team. Because that team will be filled with honesty, openness, transparency, good conversation, praying together, celebrating together, and mourn together. Because it's not about me and myself, it's about him and a common thing. So that process then, to come together and work together in this process, to come to a common understanding of what this is all about, is a process which takes time and a lot of praying, a lot of talking, a lot of discussion, a lot of tension, but hopefully in the end, dynamics. You come together to a meeting and everybody wants to contribute, not according to my gift, but what is the purpose. I have been in meetings where everybody wants to contribute because I have a gift. It's terrible. But you can be in the same meeting and everybody wants to contribute according to a common purpose. And it is a flow of grace of God. So that's the big thing. So how to be a fruitful team member is a very important thing. And you as a team leader must always work and cooperate with Christ according to this among your team members. And you will know when these people has come through and say, I'm in this. This is what the Psalm 133 says. See how great and beautiful it is when people dwell together in unity. It's like the dove from the bird of Aaron comes all to his robe. The whole body, the whole body of Christ will experience the blessing when that happens. So as a team leader, you must help people to come through this. And that also means that you can't avoid troubles. You must embrace problems and conflicts, and don't be a pastor in that situation, because then you can resolve the symptoms, but you don't resolve the roots. So you must just throw people into circumstances where they really blow things out. And they come back to you and say, I blow this thing out. Yes, you did. And why? Is it that you are a selfish, ambitious man who has your own agenda? So you must meet yourself now and be a disciple. Carry up the cross and humiliate yourself and go on. So this is a very big task. And if you read the gospel in this, according to this theme, you'll see how Jesus used circumstances, used situations to help the disciples from being me and myself, who can be closest to you, Jesus, the family factor and everything. And then they came to a point where they said, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And everybody has to have their own journey in this. So we have this common success factor in teamwork. The first thing there is the common values. If you should have a good team, you must put names on and be very clear in what is precious for us, what is important, because values give direction, and it puts name on how do we conduct in this team. Like I said before, a good team is transparent and have openness. It means you don't just don't discuss the tasks. When I have a team meeting with my team, it's 11 people. We are together 2 days, 48 hours every second month from the whole part of Norway. Take the plane into a common venue. We're together, and the first day we share what is our lives, is our marriage, how is the exercise going, how is my life in my family as a father, a mother, and we share lives together. And we share the success, and we share the failures. We pray together. So the whole first day is about this. That's the value. The values are that we are a family. We are together in this. We have a common task. We are God's family. And we are open. And you as a team leader must go forth. Before I led the team, the lead team leader had a wife who had cancer. She died by cancer. And we went through that period with him all the time. Shared, prayed. And also after she died. And the team was a family. And when you are, that's a value thing. It's difficult to beat Marek if you have been together in these situations. Then you are brothers. You can be really have different opinions about things, and we can have tough discussions. Really, wow! How do you use this money? How do you conduct this magazine? How do you conduct this conference? It can be really, but in the end, we are family, and family stay together. They live together. They are in it together. So that's a very important thing. So you must use time to this. What is our values? Why is this the value? What will this mean? Because that create a conduct. It create what we talk about, how we react on things, and that will influence the whole way as a team is working. The other things is a common vision. I don't want to go close into that because you know all about vision, but the common vision is important in the team, as in the church planting. You must have a common vision. I don't spend more time on that because it's covered in all other subjects and the time is going. And third thing is a common commission. We have this. We have the Great Commission in Matthew 28, but you have also a commission as a team, because you're not there just to have be cozy and have fun. I have spent a lot of time now talking about being a family, the values, transparency, and all this stuff. That is just the foundation. The team is not here to just have to be a bunch of friends who are together for 2 days every second month and just have fun. Now we have a commission. We have a task to complete. So it is important that we have a common commission. So I have released team members who have a commission that is not a part of our team. I say, you're a good guy. You are doing a good job. And we could have you in the team still, but your commission is something else. And then it's okay. Goodbye. But this is our commission, our task. We work in Norway. You don't go to Sweden. If you want to go to Sweden, goodbye. Bless you. But it's not our commission. So that must be clear. Then you can have different teams then. But this team has this vision, these values, and this commission. You can come into that and bless you. And if you don't will want to be a part of that, it's okay. But don't try to change our commission, because then you destroy. So according to conflicts, if you don't share the commission, the vision, and the values, you can't solve any conflicts in the team. Don't try to do that. If you try to solve conflicts in team if you don't have these three things in common, you will wear yourself out. You will burn out, and you will just create problems among people. That's best then to say, this is not our common vision. It's not the common values. It's not the common commission. Just goodbye. So I have spared myself a lot of trouble by just being clear on that, because I see too much conflicts is impossible to resolve because we don't know what is the rooting of this conflict. So I will use this last 5 minutes to talk about how to succeed in a team. It's so important that you as a team leader show that each team member is important and has an important contribution. You must put name on that and say, you are in this team because of that and that and that. Because a team is diversity. If it's people who are very, very have the same giftings and the same skills, it's not a team. Its team is not that one man or a woman want 10 people around to help him to do his task. That's not a team. That's a staff. A team is that every team member has their own skills, their own call, their own contribution that is important for the common task. So therefore, you must set put norms on that everybody know this is an evangelist. He is important in this issue. This is a manager. He helps us to get things through, to organize things. This is a prophetic man. He helps us in prayer, in how to listen to God and find a way in this situation, and so on and so on. This is it's very important that every team member know why I'm here, what is my contribution here, and in what areas do I have authority? Because that has to do with authority. Because authority is something that everybody knows, but you must, as team leader, understand that. If you are talking about how to equip the saints in this church, you know what kind of people in this team have the authority here. Not the evangelist, because he wants to go on. Not the grinder, what do you call it? Because it's really in the new work. But if you talk about this thing, he and she will be important. So according to church planting, you know that you must both take care of the people you get saved. You must dig new grounds, and you must know where people have the authority. So like this church planting I'm now part of in Trondheim area, we have 45 kids. So when we talk about that, some people have authority. And say, no, we listen to her. See, she is important now. Because if not, everybody has a lot of opinions. And it's a lot of opinions, but you need to have a team that are dynamic and listen to each other, and people have different spheres where they have authority, where their meaning is important. The other thing is communication. Communication is a important thing because communication build trust, build unity, and also people discover each other. And it's so important that you as a team leader create a culture of openness. Every question is important. You are open to feedback. You don't defend yourself, but a team is mutual. If the team is one is the leader and everybody listen and say yes or maybe, and you don't have a mutual communication there, the team is just boring, and it's the staff. A team has mutual communication. So if you are in a dynamic team, often you don't know who is the team leader here. Because maybe the team leader is not the best to conduct the meeting. So I have my personal assistant is leading the team when we are together, often. Because he is good to have progress and to stick to the agenda. So he is leading a lot of the team meetings. But he's not the team leader. But he leads the meeting because he's best there. So the team is mutual, it's discussion, and it's openness. And to create that environment is so important, because you don't get everything on the board without that. So I say always, when you come to the stage where you shall make a decision, everything must be on board. Nothing is spoken of afterwards. Everything is here. Everything is open. Everything is said. We don't have any surprises next week because we didn't think about it. Because we are here as a team member with different history, different skills, different calling. But if everybody contributes, we will have everything we need to know before we take a decision. And then we don't get any surprises.
So when we go home then, people say, have you thought about that? Yes. Have you spoken about that? Yes. Have you discussed that? Yes. Everything. Oh, you're really a team. Yes, we are a team. Good. We have confidence. We trust you because you are not a one single man who is staff, but we are a team. That's the big difference in this. And the third point is the willingness to change. Because as you know, church planting team, the circumstances change all the time. The people change all the time. If you are not flexible and willing to change, it's very difficult to start a church planting team. We started a new church planting in 2005, and the team in that plant has changed, I think, every year, because new people come in, some are moving, and we need some other skills in because the thing has changed. We started with students, and then they get married, and a lot of kids came, and the whole focus changed. And then we had new students again, now we have teenagers, and it's more complicated. And we have always things, new people in the team, to talk, to pray, and to really find a way from Christ. And if you don't grasp the flexibility and are flexible in your own mindset, you will feel insecure. Oh, well, everything is shifting. Yes, you are a part of a dynamic team. You are planting a church here. And you want to go to that direction, and suddenly these things open up. Like we started a Alpha course, and we had a lot of planning, lot of research, lot of advertising, and put a lot of efforts into it. And no success. And suddenly Jesus opened a new gate among youth. And we had to change overnight. Oh, we are going that direction. Yes. Are you with us? Yes, I'm a team member of a church planting team. I'm flexible. Hello. Come. Go. So that's flexibility in a team is so important if you shall succeed in a church planting. And according to that, the willingness to learn. A disciple have attitude of learning. I am 56 years old. I'm still hungry for more, learn more. If you think you have learned what you need to learn, you're finished. You need to stay in that attitude. What did I hear? What did they say? That what learn this week here, this learning community. It's so important to have this attitude when we are together in a team to really grow in our hearts, grow in our mind, grow in our understanding. And that is so important in the church planting team because it's so changing all the time.